We'll continue in that same spirit. Jesus, we keep inviting your presence, not just into this building, but into our temples, the bodies that you've given us, so that we can take it home with us and take it wherever we go. Lord, all we want to see this morning is that you be glorified, that you be lifted up, that you be enthroned in our lives and in our midst. There just is no one like you. Holiness and righteousness is yours. And we can't bow our knee or worship before anyone else or before anything else, because nothing else will fill us or complete us, or nothing else has eternal value, and no one else is as good as you, Lord. We bow our knees and we submit our hearts. Thank you for meeting us, no matter where we are and what we've done. We love you. We love you this morning, because you are an amazing God and a wonderful Lord to serve. Thank you for that, Jesus. Continue guiding us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Goeiemôre julle. Good morning, Dumelang, Saubona. Don't know what all nations and languages we have represented this morning, but you're all welcome. Because this is the house of the Lord, not because it's a cool building. We think it's a cool building, but it's not really about the building, is it? It's about us doing church together, not just on a Sunday morning, but for the whole week in everything that we do. The missions org my sister used to work with in Zambia used to teach people in the villages and say, on Sunday mornings, we come to we come to a service, and from Monday to Saturday, we worship the Lord. Because our mentality is so often we worship God on Sundays and the rest of the week we kind of do whatever we want. We forget to submit ourselves and our lives and our thoughts and our work and everything else to God. So, welcome to the get-together this morning. I hope you're going to go worship the Lord the rest of the week as well. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much for that. Let me just quickly ask, who was here last Sunday? Let me do it the positive way. Okay, a few of you. For those who weren't, we stood still at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to continue with that this morning. So if you have your Bible, which I hope you do, is a church, you know. So please do feel welcome and free to bring yours so we can dig into the Word of God together. We actually just looked at the first two verses in Romans, and we're going to accomplish this great feat of looking at verse 3 to 21 today. How about that? But first of all, I have family in here this morning, and I don't mean Erik. Ek het 'n klein niggie hierso. Awesome. Hello, Charlotte. Welcome. My mom's name is Charlotte, too. It's a family name. And Charlotte, you have to connect with Chris in the back. He's from Malawi. Her grandparents spent their whole lives as missionaries in Malawi. And these guys go up there all the time still doing stuff God wants. So at least go greet him in Chichewa, huh? So you guys can connect. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Let's start by just reading verse 1. Of Romans 12, and we'll quickly recap what we talked about last week, and then we're going to move on with what I feel God wants to teach us through Paul here this morning. So Paul says in Romans chapter 12, and he's finished, you know, all the doctrine stuff, all the teaching stuff, all the, this is the gospel, this is what Jesus did for you, this is what you need to understand. He finished all of that part, and now he says, now, this is the stuff that you need to do. This is what your life needs to look like from chapters 12 to 16. Okay, so verse 1, he says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so what we did last week, as we just looked at these four points. Okay, while he's doing that. Okay, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is where we begin. We said if we're going to be leaders, in other words, people who are influencers wherever they go, if we're going to be bringing in the harvest, like Andries talked to us about 2 weeks ago, we need to be a people who have presented ourselves as living and holy sacrifices to Jesus. And I just call this surrender. It's choosing a life of surrender in all my circumstances, in all my troubles, with whoever I am, whatever job I have, whoever I'm married to, whoever my kids are. I choose to surrender to Jesus every day. This is salvation, by the way. And if you haven't done this in a few years, maybe you need to go back on your knees and say, God, I give my life to you again. Because the life of being a follower of Jesus, of being saved, or whatever you want to call it, born again, is a life of surrendering myself to Jesus. And I failed with that many times, and I'm sure you can relate. But today we get up again and we say, God, I surrender again. Would you lead me in this life of surrendering to you? And it says it exactly there, it's sacrifice. It's a life of sacrifice that God has called us to. Living and holy, placing myself on the altar, denying myself, taking up my cross, that's all a part of this. So if we're going to bring in the harvest, if we're going to be influencing our communities and the nations, this is where it begins, right? Then secondly, the next verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't fashion yourself after the pattern of this world. Don't be like everybody else. We're not better people by comparison. I don't compare myself to my neighbor and go, phew, well, you know, they're a bunch of drunkards. They're not. It's Marika and Henry over there and they're amazing neighbors, but let's just pretend for a moment, you know. I couldn't have asked for better neighbors, honestly. Isn't it so fun to have your neighbors be in the same faith community as you? I think it's awesome. So we have lots of good fellowship there. But anyway, if your neighbors were, you know, a bunch of drunkards, it's not that I go, oh, shoot, well, I'm not, so at least I'm a better person. So I'm not good by comparison, right? I can only live a high life of holiness because I've surrendered myself to Jesus. I've asked for forgiveness for my sins past, and whatever I do today, I stop and I say, Jesus, I'm sorry, and I don't do things the way that everyone else does around me because I'm distinct. God has called me to a life of distinction. We can say to be separate from, but just to say separate sometimes conveys a physical idea that I don't like. We're not called to physically separate ourselves from the world, right? But in our hearts and in our minds, there has to be a distinction. We have to be different. And then it says, but be. So don't conform to the world, but be transformed. This is where we get our word metamorphosis from. We said, if we look at a little frog, it becomes an egg and a tadpole and then grows legs. We need to be different. The way we used to look before should be different from the way we look now. Okay, even I gave my life to Jesus when I was 12. It's been a long journey. But I promise you, I'm not the same person as I was 20 years ago or 5 years ago, and definitely not the same person I was even last year. God has just been so gracious, and He has really changed my life. Okay? So it's His faithfulness, but I need to make a choice every day to say, God, renew my thinking, because that's what it says here. How do we change? How do we become transformed? By renewing the way that I think. I use the example of, I said, if we have a dirty cup and I keep rinsing it with clean water, it'll become cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, won't it? But if I have a cup that I'm rinsing with dirty, muddy water, I'm going to rinse for all of eternity. But as long as my water is muddy or has soup in it or whatever, you know, I've washed my dishes, whatever your water looks like when you finish washing your dishes, if I keep rinsing the cup in that, that cup will not become cleaner. So I need to rinse my mind with that which is from the Lord. I need to spend time with Him. I need to dig into them. I have to have a desire for Him. I have to have His word and His ways and His people. Help me wash my mind. And we need the Holy Spirit to do this, okay? And then lastly, it simply says this, you know, if you've presented yourself as a sacrifice, you have not conformed to this world, you're in the process of renewing your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, what is good and perfect and acceptable. And we said that, you know, many of us struggle with hearing God's voice on a daily basis, but also in terms of what has He called us for? Like, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, how can I live a purposeful, meaningful life? Well, guess what? Surrender. Be distinct. Be transformed. And you will prove what the will of God is. Then it's not even always that God has to say, Amore, thus saith the Lord, you know? It's a lot more natural than that most of the time. There will be times when God speaks to us in almost audible voices, and that's great. But most of the time, it's just that still inner voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. because I'm living a life of surrender. I'm saying, God, I'm going on my way. I'm doing what I believe you've called me to do. If I'm, you know, going in the wrong direction, if I'm, you know, not doing the right thing in this particular relationship today, just guide me. Just show me. Guys, when we live a way in which we're praying and asking God and inviting him into our lives like this, we will know his will to a great degree. I'm not saying we'll know it perfectly. You know, we fail. We miss him sometimes. But God is so gracious to catch us, especially if we're people who have the kind of people who have the heart to always be seeking after him. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's seek him and search for him with all of our hearts, and we will be able to show, to prove what the will of God is. And guess what? Everyone else around us will be able to see it. It'll be demonstrated. So I think the world looks at the church sometimes and go, you guys are just as messed up as we are. And one of the reasons for that is because we sometimes don't have a clue what's going on either and what God's doing and what he's not doing. We don't know how to become a part of what he's doing. But if we want to be a part of that which is good and acceptable and pleasing, surrender, be distinct, transform your mind, show what the will of Jesus is, okay? So it's simple concepts. We know it's a bit more complex, always making it real in our lives, right? So we just say again, Holy Spirit, do this in our lives, okay? We present ourselves this way. Okay, verse 3, are you ready? For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I'm going to stop there for just a sec. Last week we read through the whole, of the chapter. So Paul's going to continue in verse 6 now, and he talks about specific gifts that God has given us by his grace. But he introduces that idea after talking about this that we just talked about by talking about humility. And he's saying, you know, like in Philippians 2 where it says, have this attitude in you which Jesus had. When he left all the godness, all the stuff of heaven behind to come and serve us, to take on the form of a man. And so he's asking us to have that same attitude of humility. And my friends, if I can't walk in humility, if I can't see myself the way that God sees me, I cannot be of service to my brothers and sisters. I cannot walk in the gifts, not effectively. I can use my gifts. They're irrevocable. God's never going to take away the gifts he's given you. He's never going to wait to take the talent you've given him. Luke is going to be musically inclined his whole entire life, no matter what he does, because that's how God made him. Musiklik, this was an Afrikaans. It's always going to be that. God will not take it away. But how we use that gift will be greatly affected by the humility or the pride that we walk in. And I want to ask you to think about something. We sometimes think of inferiority and superiority as two very different things. But they both have their roots in pride. Because pride is simply when I have a different picture of myself than God has. So what is your picture of yourself this morning? Is it God's picture? Now, I can't stand here in front of you and say, I have the perfect picture of Jesus. I've got it all together. No, I'm also very much growing in that process. And God is always, you know, revealing insecurities and pride issues and different things in my life. And I'm hopefully becoming more and more conformed to his image. That's my prayer, at least. That's what I want to be. Okay? But humility is to have a sober opinion of yourself. To have Jesus' attitude, to remember that we are part of the body. Everything that you do and you do and you do and I do, we're all together the body. None of us can do it by ourselves. None of us can do it alone. None of us, what we do is more important than the other, even though it sometimes may seem like it. Okay? So it's that we're not proud of our gifts, but we don't bury them either. And we're going to come back to that. Okay, so verse 4 and 5, he just says, understand that you're called to be one body, but many members, and you're equal in value. And you know in other parts of scripture, like in Corinthians, Paul talks about it literally like being like our physical body. And if your finger hurts, the whole body hurts. If the eye isn't working, the whole body is affected, right? And this is how we need to function together. That if, you know, Hannes is hurting or not bringing his gift to the table, all of us are actually affected by it. We may not even know it always, but we're missing out on something that God wanted to do in our midst. So you need to hear the Lord this morning about the gifts that he's given you and whether you're bringing it to the table, whether you're bringing it to the group and to the body. Because we want to blame other people sometimes for our gifts not being used. But I am the one who's made a steward over the gifts and the abilities that God has given me. Am I not? Okay? So the responsibility begins with me. But I have to walk in humility. All right? Verse 6 then, just we can go on with verse 6. And since we have the gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, let each exercise them accordingly. And I thought just interesting to note there that the word gifts, or the word grace there, is the Greek word charis. And the word for gifts is charismata. Recognize that? Okay? So if you're a bunch of charismatics this morning, this is where it comes off. It's gifts of grace. Now, does that not say a lot about the way in which God has given it to us and why he has given it to us? Okay? Charismata, the gift, simply means undeserved benefits from God. So whatever you have, whatever talents and gifts you have, whether they be spiritual or seem natural, they are undeserved benefits or favors from God. Because grace just means grace or favor or benefit. The word charis, where charismata comes from. So God has graced us. He has gifted us. He's given us these gifts, these presents that we need to unwrap and share with everybody. That's kind of the idea that comes through here. So he then says, let each exercise them accordingly. Verse 6 still. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service or ministry, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality or freely or generosity, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then the rest, we're going to talk about how to make that very practical, because these are the two parts we want to talk about this morning. We said last week the question was, how do I be a part of bringing in the harvest? How am I going to be an influencer? A leader, but an influencer, bringing people into the kingdom of God. We do that by these things, and then Paul continues to saying, but you bring your gifts to the table. You serve each other with your gifts, and you serve each other by love, is the rest of the chapter. So that's our twofold part this morning. But let's just stop at each of these points for a moment. Erik, and I'm going to need your help again, please. As Janice my daughter can offer. And we're going to stick each of these up here. Because I want us to, so prophecy, Eric's going to put that one up for us. Prophecy is simply to challenge others by declaring God's truth and calling them to action. There are things like prophetic words, but sometimes it's more a gift of knowledge or insight into someone else's life to, go to somebody and say, I believe God wants to tell you this or this or this, and it's a form of encouragement too. But the sort of prophecy that Paul is talking about here is to challenge others by saying, this is the truth. This is what God is speaking. This is the way we should go. Well, here's what I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying. Kind of like Eric's word this morning to us about God knocking at the door is a little bit that side. It's not about predicting the future or telling you what's going to happen. You're going to marry, have 3 husbands and 50 children. It's not necessarily that kind of thing at all. And by the way, we should be really careful about saying those sort of things to people. But it's giving direction. It's a little bit like shining a light in the dark, and taking this light and saying, this is the way I believe that God wants us to go. I don't have a powerful flashlight here, but it's supposed to be really dark in the room. Can you just pretend with me it's really dark in this room? Okay. But it's when it's dark and we can't necessarily see, and someone takes a torch or a flashlight and say, here you guys, this is where we're going. And it's not a follow me thing. It's let's follow the Holy Spirit. Let's go where he's going. Let's shine light on God's truth and we follow after that. Okay. So this sort of prophecy is to speak what isn't as if it were. So I can speak this into someone's life. Don't get it. You can put the lights back on, actually. Thanks. It's all over now. It lasted but for a moment. But we're going to need it again in the end, so just be ready. Sorry, I didn't prepare. I prepared Ben in the back, but I didn't prepare my very important sidekick here to say this is what we're going to be doing. Sorry. But so it's to speak into somebody's life, to say, I see this in your life. I see that God wants to do A, B, and C in your life. So it's a form of encouragement. But guys, our words have incredible power. You and I are created in the image of God. And what did God do? It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it tells us how he does it. He simply spoke. And you or I don't have that, you know, that kind of power. We're not almighty, so we'd just be like, be a chair, and there's a chair, you know. But we have incredible power with our words into what we speak into each other's lives. And this is why you'll sometimes see a child who can be the most beautiful, most talented, most everything, but if his parents had constantly, you know, degraded them and stepped on him and made him feel horrible and ugly, that person will have a very hard time ever amounting up to anything in life. And the opposite is also true. You can have a very unattractive, untalented child, but if that, his parents have always said, you're amazing, you're beautiful, God loves you, he wants to use you, you're so gifted, you're so this, I see this in you, that child will most probably believe it and become that person. So what we speak of ourselves is incredibly important, and what we speak over each other is incredibly important. This is a form of prophecy. It's saying, here's the light, follow this. This is who God wants you to be. Follow this light and become like that. Do you have this gift? Can you speak over other people's lives? And we're going to see as we go through these gifts that some of us will very particularly have a strong inclination or desire or passion, you know, for example, to speak this kind of stuff over people or to help give us as a body direction, you know, where the Lord is leading us. But all of us are called to at some point in our daily lives. I mean, who of you are going to put your hand up and say, no, I'm not called to ever give anybody any kind of truth or any positive feedback or input or encouragement in their lives? None of us. All of us are meant to do that, right? So some of us will lead out strong in these gifts, and the rest of us will just in our daily lives be the people who speak God's truth and who are positive. And who, you know, speak faith into the situation and faith into each other's lives. You with me? Okay, so prophecy. The second one then he says there is service or ministry. And I love that in the Greek, these two words are interchangeable. Because usually all of us want to be part of ministry. Very few of us want to be part of service. Come on, be honest. Isn't that true? Not very glamorous to have to set out the chairs here, you know, on a Sunday morning and get the table and the cups ready. It's like way more glamorous to, I don't know, maybe be up here and speak or, you know, something that people can see, you know. But service and ministry is the same word. They're both the same word in Greek. Did you know that? So to serve is to minister. In Afrikaans, we say that very well. I don't know about the other languages represented here. But bediening, ministry, it includes the word dien, which means serve. And who of you can say in here, no, God hasn't called me to serve? Put up your hand. Come on. We can't say that, can we? Right? We are all called to serve. We're all called to minister. But there will be some people who really have a very special gift to serve others, to anticipate their needs, and to meet those needs. I know several people in this community that, you know, definitely, I think of Edwin, he's not here, they were on outreach to Namibia, Ben back there. These are guys who have a passion to serve, to set up things, to work out the logistics so that we can all walk in here and things are right. But it's not just, remember, this isn't church what we're doing this morning, remember that? So it's what we're doing out there. Some of you will have a specific gift of ministry or service that God wants to use. And maybe out, you know, maybe in here it means like, you know, Hannes and Chris Marie and everybody who set up the cups and all the stuff this morning. Hallelujah for those guys. They're just as important in what they did this morning than what I'm doing or what these guys did up here this morning. Donkey Hannes, what? I know Chris Marie's out there. And everybody who helped. But out there, it may look like I have an elderly neighbor who maybe is not so fit and strong anymore or doesn't have enough money, and I go mow his lawn for him because I can and because I love to serve. And that is what will bring people into the kingdom when they see that we serve each other and that we serve those around us as well. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be super spiritual. I don't have to wake up in the morning and again it goes, "Thus saith the Lord, goest thou now and mowest thy neighbor's lawn." I don't even know how you'd say mow. Cut the grass. And that kind of high English. But moweth, I think it's moweth. Guys, go moweth your neighbor's lawn because it's a natural thing to do when you're a follower of Jesus. Okay? Do the simple things that you can do to serve because God has called us to be servers, to be ministers. And I don't want to use this example just because this is the only way to serve, but it does illustrate it so well, right? It is the person who's willing to wear the cloth over their arms and say, "Would you like a cup of tea? Can I make you some tea?" Yes, Luke, I know. And Luke is always making everybody tea as well. Thank you, Luke. I really appreciate that. And I just have one of my dear friends just moved away from George. And one of the things I'll miss the most, I told her, is like, I was like, who's going to make me tea now? Whenever I show up at her house, you know, and I'm frazzled and I had a rough morning with the kids and it goes well, she just goes, "Would you like some tea?" And I don't drink tea a lot, honestly. I'm not like Luke, but I always go, "Yes, please." And I just sit down on her couch and let her make me tea, you know, and our kids play around us. And guys, she really ministered to me, and I'm going to miss that ministry. So that's why scripture says, whether you're giving a glass of cold water to someone, you know, or when you do that, that is serving Jesus. That is ministering the Lord. And a great teacher and role model of ours used to say, whether you're washing the dishes or raising the dead, you do it all to the glory of God. So please be dishwashers. Please be trash taker outers. You know, I'm making up words as I go. But guys, there are ways, practical ways in which we can serve each other and help each other out. But we need to be observant of our need and encourage those who have the specific gift of noticing a need and going after it. Okay? There are those of you who are sitting right here. Okay. Teaching is the next one. It's to explain truth so that others can understand and apply it. I'm hopefully doing that this morning. I'm hoping I'm explaining and I'm hoping you understand. But it's simply taking God's word, helping to break it down into pieces so we all take something home with us and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. This is my gift and I love it, you know, so I want to bless you with it. But my gift isn't more important, once again, than David helping to set up the teacups this morning. Are you with me? It's all a part of it. And hopefully if I have this gift, I'm also going to use it out there. As a mom, I have to constantly teach my kids, and I shouldn't see it as less important than standing up here on a Sunday morning. Right? It's just as important. Actually, it's more important. If I do a bad job with my kids, I don't have anything to say up here in front of you. Are you with me? So whatever, you know, if you have this gift, hopefully you have the kind of career that in some way, you know, allows you to teach. But teaching is something you have to walk in a lot of humility with. It's not going around telling everybody what to do. My husband made that very clear to me from the very beginning of our marriage. And I'm still learning that teaching is not about bossing people around, but it's about serving in humility. And when the right time is there to say something and to speak, but mostly to demonstrate through your life, then you do that. Okay? So all of us are called to demonstrate, to instruct others through our lives. And some of us will be specifically teaching like I am this morning. Okay. Can I come my father? Can I go after please? Great. The next one, exhortation. Just a big word that simply means encouragement. Thank you, Liefie. Encouragement. It's a coaching role. I'm married to a coach, so I've seen this in action lots. It's to encourage or strengthen and inspire others to be their best. I think Amu has this job as well, this role as well, or this gift. He's always trying to, you know, gather up everyone and inspire everybody and say, you know, come on, do what God's called you to do. Let's do this together, right? Follow your gift. So this is the coaching role, to exhort. And once again, all of us are called to encourage each other, right? All of us are called to this. Some of us have a specific gift
to come to somebody. You know, there are those certain people that when they come up to you and they start speaking to you, you walk away and you feel like the queen or the king of the world. Like, wow, they just made your day. And I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about almost that prophetic way of speaking into someone's life. But again, I don't have to hear a thus saith the Lord to walk up to somebody and just say, I see Jesus in you. Thank you for what you did this morning. Thank you for the way that you blessed me last night. It doesn't have to be super spiritual. Are you with me? It can just be really simple and practical and real and authentic. It has to be authentic. But some of us have a specific gift of exhortation. And it's so great. We need those guys. We need the Barnabases around us, don't we? We become a bunch of depressed people if we don't have the Barnabases around us. So bring it on. Okay, next one. Giving. Some of us are sometimes surprised that the Bible calls this a gift. But it is a gift. It's such a privilege as well. There's such grace in it and favor in it when we are people who give. Now we know Scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I've given us such a great encouragement the morning to say, give to the Lord because it's His anyways. And we're all called to give. Who of us in here again can say, oh no, I don't have that gift, so I'm not supposed to give? Yeah, that's going to go very far, right? But some of you in here have a very specific calling on your life to be giving in greater measure than maybe other people. And although this is my little illustration this morning, just for the sake of illustration, is my children think we are very rich. We'll just let them think that. Because I have this little wooden pot in my house. It comes from Nicaragua. I lived there for a few months, helping to pioneer a Bible course. But in it, there are coins from all over the world. So they constantly do this, you know, and they pick up all these coins, and I gather them all through the house, and I take them out of the vacuum cleaner's bag again because, you know, they end up being vacuumed and then they just go back into the pot. But what I just want to have you remember this morning is that everything I own belongs to the Lord. But it's not just money. It's my time. It's my gifts. It's my ability. It's my energy. It's especially my time. And some of you are very specifically called to give of yourself to the body of Christ and to the world out there. And how powerful, we saw this in a powerful way, I've mentioned this several times, but when my mother-in-law died earlier this year, so many of you just jumped in, brought bags of groceries, pick and pay gift cards, you know, watch the kids. Like, there were just so many ways in which the body of Christ responded, and we felt so loved because of the way you gave. Okay? That's the gift of giving in practice. Okay? It's just seeing, where's the need? How can I give? It's supporting missionaries out there on the mission field. It's, you know, it's supporting projects going on here. It's helping somebody build a house in Timbaletu. It's telling Annalise, yes, I want to volunteer and spend time with the kids at the Bethesda orphanage. It's giving of yourself. It's actually just another way of serving. So it's not just money, guys. But some of you, God's given you a gift of business and making money, and it's never for the sake of making money. It's always for the sake of the kingdom. So will you bring it to the table? Will you bring it before God and offer it before Him as a living and holy sacrifice once again? Because it doesn't belong to you to begin with. Okay? Giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Leadership. Now that's an interesting one that we tend to think like, you know, why does Paul list it with this group? But leadership is simply to govern and oversee others so that the group moves forward. To govern and oversee others so that the group moves forward. How many of you are dads or husbands in here this morning? Two. Okay, that's great. Okay, there's a few more. This is what you need to be doing every day, guys. You govern and oversee your family so that your family moves forward. Right? Mothers, you do this with your children. Many of you are in positions at work where you govern and oversee others. But you have a role within the body of Christ as well. If God has given you with a gift of leadership, it might mean something as simple as leading or facilitating a cell group. That's okay. It might mean at some point becoming part of the church leadership. But it's so much more than that. It's looking at what has God given you? What abilities has He given you? What experience has He given you? What education has He given you? What resources has He given you? And can I govern those things in such a way that it helps moving other people forward toward what God's want for them? Do you have this gift? Maybe you do. And you need to bring it to the table and you need to stop bearing it because we need your leadership amongst us. And remember, we've been saying that leadership is primarily influencing. You do not need the position in order to exercise this gift. Stop looking at the way of the world. And I have this picture for you here that I drew. Oh, he's going to put it up for me. Before he puts it up. This is the way that the world looks at leadership, is it not? There's the leader at the top. The arrow should actually go the other way around. There's the leader at the top, and everybody else is there to serve him or her, right? Lording it over each other, Jesus called it. The kingdom of God is always upside down. This is what leadership looks like in the kingdom. And sometimes it means you're the shepherd and you're walking ahead and everyone's following you. But a lot of the time it means being like the sheepdog, encouraging everyone from the back, saying, come on now, guys, this is the way we're going to go. You know, this is what God is asking of us. I see this gift in you. Yeah, use it. Come on, join us. Do this thing. Respond to the word of the Lord. It's the sheepdog role. So leadership is upside down in the kingdom. And if we're gonna help other people to move forward, then we sometimes need to come from behind and we sometimes need to walk next to people. It's not a position. If you forget everything else this morning, remember that. Leadership is not a position. It's a gift I use to help others along and to bring them closer to the kingdom. And you can use it outside of this community of faith as well. It's an incredible gift to have when you can be in a pagan workplace where people don't know Jesus and you can use this gift to bring them closer to God, to bring them closer to what God wants for their lives. Don't bury your gift. Don't bury your gift. And then lastly, mercy. It says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And mercy is simply to empathize with, to cheer and to show compassion to those who hurt. And I love the word compassion because all it means is to feel with somebody. In Afrikaans, meer gevoel, om meer te voel. I feel with somebody. And wow, I have a few friends in this church who are just great at it. Vilmi is not here this morning, but man, Vilmi is just great in this one. I know if anything is going on, she's there and she wants to know how you're feeling, how you're doing, you know, do you need anything? And there's a few of the ladies in my cell group are definitely like this, and just loving and supporting each other and praying each other and coaching each other and cheering each other on. And this can be such a lifeline when you need them. And I want you to notice that it says mercy is a gift, but judgment isn't. Nowhere in the Bible it says judgment is a gift, because we're not really called to judge. That's God's role. The church is called to show mercy, and the government is in that role of judgment, you know, punishing evildoers and all of that. That's not our job. We are simply there to show mercy, because that's what will bring in the harvest, is when we do this. So, guys, how do we discover our gifts? If you're sitting here looking at these things, because that's really what I want us to do, is to look at the board there and go, Lord, I'm not so sure maybe which of these, you know, is mine. Or I look at it and go, ah, I know. This is what I'm supposed to do. That's great. But how do I discover it if I don't know what it is? I simply start doing stuff. I simply start serving in my community. Yes, here on a Sunday morning. Yes, in your Wednesday night cell group. But also everywhere out there. In your family setup. In your work setup. In school. I start doing stuff to discover which of these things do I really have a passion for. Man, if I've encouraged somebody, I feel like I'm on top of the world. Well, very possibly, you could have that gift because it's something that you have a passion for. It's something that gets you going. It's something like we used to say that tickles you pink. So if it tickles you pink, it's probably your gift. And it's probably the way in which God really wants to use you a lot. I love what I'm doing this morning. It just, you know, gets me going because this is what God's called me to do. But maybe there's some of you that go, oh man, if I had to do that, I'm just going to die. And yes, my God wants to get all of us out of our comfort zones and sometimes do the things, you know, we don't like to do so much. That's called serving, laying yourself down. But you don't have to come stand up here and teach necessarily if that's not what God is asking you to do. That's okay. You bring your gift and I bring mine and together we do this body thing. But guys, when you do not bring your gift to the table, we function like a dysfunctional family. And Eric and I have had to walk a long road, and we're still walking this road. If you know, it's like someone said 6 months after we married, they're like, oh, so you're newlyweds, huh? You're in this process of becoming one. You're just trying to figure out which one. So sometimes we're still trying to figure out which one. Oh, yeah, we're just honest. But what I've noticed is that when we go out of alignment with how God intended our family to operate, we become very dysfunctional. If Eric starts doing anything to assert himself or to lord it over me or, you know, anything in that way, things go out of whack. And it automatically brings out this thing of mine. I'm like, I will not do that. You know? So rebellion comes out. In the same way, when I don't submit, I don't have a submissive attitude. And sermon is not about that. I don't want to make it about that. But we had so many misconceptions about this. But this is understanding that God put my husband over me as a protection. It's not supposed to be a punishment or a limitation or a restriction or anything like that. But when I don't understand that and I want to be the one who says how things are going to go, we become out of whack and we become dysfunctional and we start fighting. And the kids, you know, if we're not right with each other, the kids start fighting with each other. I'm like, how come they're not listening to me? Well, it's because I'm not listening to the Lord and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not fulfilling my role. So we can see it very clearly when we take a small nuclear family, a gesin, like ours, you know, like yours. But it's sometimes a lot harder to see when we're 60 people, 100 people that form this community together. Because, you know, when Annalie is maybe not here this morning or she's, you know, never speaking up, never doing what God's doing, we may not necessarily realize where we're lacking until she steps up and we go, wow, where have you been all of our lives? And that's what was supposed to happen. But once we see her gift coming up and she's using it, you know, with its giving, I know she's such an amazing servant as well, you know. When she's serving and I go, wow, I see Jesus in that. That's what makes this body not be dysfunctional, but function the way that God intended it. And guys, yes, we have to go out there and get the harvest and not bring him into the four walls of the church. But, you know, you have the Lord use us to bring them into the kingdom. And yes, maybe then they will join our church, but that's not the point to begin with, right? Get that? Yes, we have to go out there. But I want to tell you this. When people look at your family and they go, wow, you guys are amazing. You really love each other. You serve each other. Your roles just fit. You work together so well. Can I come and hang out with you? That's what happens with a normal family. Why would that not be true of our spiritual family? That people look at us and they go, you guys are amazing. And yes, you know, Arm was preaching and Salome is dancing and Clive is setting up and, you know, all these different things and you guys just work together so well. But they also look at what we do in the community and they go, wow, man, you guys are lawn mowers. You mow other people's lawns. I want to be like you. You see that? So dysfunctional, no harvest. Functionality, loving, serving in our gifts, we'll see the harvest come in. Because we're influencing our community to love Jesus more. We're making it attractive to be in the kingdom. Are you with me? So what is your gift? And are you burying it or are you boasting about it? And my feeling is most of us are burying it. Not even boasting about it, but neither of the two are right. So this is the part, this is the serving through our gifts part. Here comes the next part. You ready? Okay, shake your legs a little bit. Don't fall asleep. This is still important. Before we go this morning, verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. So how are we going to use our gifts? How are we going to serve each other as a family? How are we going to serve our community? We do it by letting love be without hypocrisy. When we love someone, we do someone to show them our love, we do it without skynheiligheid, without ulterior motives, without wanting anything in return. We just do it because that's what Jesus would do, and he loves people. And whether it changed their lives or not, that is not your problem. I'm not friendly to my gay neighbor because I'm just hoping, you know, I see him as this project to evangelize. He's not a project to evangelize. He's a lost child of God who needs to come back into the fold. And if I'm not going to love him, he's never going to come into the fold. But I love. I don't project. You with me? Oh, and we need Jesus' help for that. We abhor what is evil, and abhor means to detest with horror. It's a pretty strong word. We abhor what is evil, and we cling to what is good. Guys, when people look at us as a body, can they see this? Can they see that we love what is good and we hate what's evil? And can they in the process still feel love no matter where their lives are at? I mentioned last Sunday, you know, the whole homosexual and transgender issue that's become huge in our society. Not just in the Western world, but it's a big debate in the U.S. at the moment, if you've been following the news. What is our response to that? Can we find a way as followers of Jesus to abhor what is evil and to cling to what is good and not kick the sinner out of the door? We need to find ways to do this. If we don't, we fail. Luke, I bragged on you guys last week going down to the gay pride festival, and I said tears were running down these guys' faces as they were, you know, doing their glorious parade there in Neisner, because nobody from the church has ever told them that we love you guys and God loves you. People usually go stand there and pick it and say, God hates gays and you will be judged. And it's not our job. I'm not saying tell people what they're doing is okay. We never should compromise that way. But can we find a way to speak the truth in love, and mostly just by building relationships with people? Just love. It's all God's asking us to do. Very simple, hard sometimes to make happen, right? But Jesus is going to help us, guys. Don't give up. Okay. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. Ah, I don't need to add anything to that, you know? And if the world doesn't see this, then they won't want to be harvested. Be diligent. Wash those cups. Not lagging behind in diligence. And guys, it's so much more than washing cups. It's everything that we do. Are you diligent in whatever you're asked to do? Whatever you're tasked to do? Are you diligent when no one sees you? Do you have integrity to do your job with excellence when no one else is watching but the Holy Spirit? People will see this in your life. They will know that you are distinct from everyone around them, that you have not conformed to the norm of everyone around you who just does stuff whenever the boss is looking. I don't want my children to be like that, to just do the right thing when I'm looking, when Eric is there to see. I want them to become the kind of kids who love Jesus and obey him whether mom and dad's there or not. And God wants the same for us. Okay? Fervent in spirit. I like the Afrikaans word there, geestdriftig. Ever. Be fervent in spirit. Be passionate. Dig into what you're going to do. Don't just be like, yeah, okay, let's get this done. Doesn't seem to be the spirit of Jesus right there. I can't imagine Jesus having that attitude. Okay? Serving in the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. We have to take the hope that Jesus has given us out there to the world. We have to give it to each other. Man, this has been a hard few months for me and Eric. I shared last Sunday, you know, he lost his job at the end of March. Very unfair, unjust circumstances. God's been taking care of us in amazing ways a lot of times through this body. But it's been difficult. It's been very difficult. But the only thing that we have going is rejoicing in the hope that we have in Jesus. And when you've come to us and encouraged us and said, hang on, don't let go, bait fuss, it's made me hold on to that hope again, that God is in charge of our lives. So when you've used your gift in just the way that you love on us, it's helped me hang on, you see? So thank you for doing that, and keep doing that for each other, and keep doing that for the world out there. That's what's going to bring in the harvest. Persevering in tribulation. Oh, that goes same breath. Devoted to prayer. Thank you, Ronelle, for setting such a great example in that. But you know what? She's not the only one called to prayer. We all are. Paul's saying to all of us here, be devoted to prayer. Be committed to it. Okay? Contributing to the needs of the saints. Man, I don't think Eric and I think of ourselves as saints, but when the Bible speaks about saints, it often just means the believers. And again, so many have contributed to our needs in this time, and I'm so very grateful to all of you who've done so. Keep doing it for one another. Practicing hospitality. Hospitality in Greek simply means loving strangers. Did you know that? So yes, we need to be hospitable to our friends as well. But we need to go invite those guys with the funky hair and the rainbow t-shirts. We need to be hospitable to them as well. How are we going to do that, church? It's not going to usually mean invite them, you know, on a Sunday to service and give them a cup of tea. We might get them to come, but probably not. Not at least right now. Can I show hospitality to people who are very different from me, who are from a different race, a different culture, a different language, a different sexual orientation, God forbid? How do we do that? Let the Holy Spirit do the conviction. You just do the loving. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Take time to tell people you care about what they're going through. Be of the same mind. Do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. It's the unity and humility thing again. Never pay back evil for anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. As far as it's possible, be at peace with all men. Sort your junk out with other people. Forgive them. Ask their forgiveness. Move on. If we're dysfunctional as a family because we don't have good relationships, the harvest will stay far away from us. It's kind of like Carter's little friend saying, you know, last night Shannon and Caleb were playing there with him. And, you know, it's kind of like Shannon telling her mommy, I don't want to go there again because they just like yell at each other. They never say they're sorry. If that were the atmosphere in our house, and there was a lot of yelling, believe me. But if that were the atmosphere in our house where people couldn't see the forgiveness part demonstrated, it's not that we're going to get everything right all the time. But at least when we mess up, we say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Or I can see that maybe you're carrying an offense against me. Can we talk about this? Can we sort this out as brothers and sisters in Jesus? It's so hard to do sometimes, guys, but it's so necessary. Don't carry offenses. You will be pushing away the harvest and not bringing them in because you'll be contributing to the dysfunctionality in our body instead of the functionality. Okay? Never take your own revenge. Leave room for the wrath of God. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, etc. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We desperately need a church of Jesus who's distinct from the world out there because our thinking has been renewed because we've surrendered our lives and it's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus and him bringing in the harvest through us because that's how he's chosen to do it. So you and I can actually put a stick into the spokes of the wheel of the gospel by being a dysfunctional family. So I hope the weight of that responsibility and of that call settles on us this morning. Not so that we can feel depressed. We're still going to rejoice and hope and say, God, I may have failed today, but I'm going to trust you that your mercies are new every morning. And tomorrow I'm going to try again. This afternoon I'm going to try again. I'm going to surrender again. I'm going to try and love again. I'm going to try and not judge once again. I'm going to try not pay back evil once again. Haneli and I were talking, we talked about this a few times, but I just wanted her to come and quickly tell a story. Because the story so illustrates what we've been talking about. Taking Jesus outside of these four walls, into my workplace or home, and seeing change happen because of it.
Thank you. Môre, ek wil graag vir julle vertel. Ek het hulp nodig gehad, en ek bel die security hek, en ek vra of hulle vir my iemand kan stuur om vir my te kom help. En hulle stuur, maar voordat het ek elke oggend gebid en gesê, Here, gebruik my soos wat u wil hê, moet diensbaar vir u wees. En die vrou kom toe in my huis en ek vra haar, sê vir my, sy sê toe vir my, sy is Rochelle en ek sê vir haar, ek is Haneli en ek sê toe vir haar, sy vertel vir my wie is Rochelle en sy begin vir my te vertel, maar net so 5 minute, sy sê net, sy is Rochelle en sy het laas jaar swanger geraak en sy het haar babiekie December gehad en die babiekie is doodgebore. En sy begin verskriklik te huil en die volgende oomblik voel ek net om my arms om haar te sit en haar vast te hou en ek huil saam met haar en ek bid vir haar en ons bid saam. Maar sy ken nie die Here nie. En hoe ek moet haar vir kopie tee gaan maak en met haar gaan sit en met haar gesels. En vertel ek vir haar van Jesus, en het is die Jesus' skuld dat die baba dood is, want sy vrou, hoekom het die Here dit gedoen? En hoe ek vir haar met haar die pad stap en vir haar verduidelik en ons bid saam en ons praat en ons bid en die Here gebruik my waarlik daai dag om vir haar daar te wees en hoe ook dat ek besluit maar Heilige Gees wys my net wat kan ek vir haar doen en hoe ek vir haar boekmerkie maak en ek vra toe of die babietjie 'n naam het en sy sê toe vir my die baba se naam is Annie. En ek gaan kyk in my naamboek en ek sien Annie beteken beautiful en ek maak vir haar 'n pink kaartjie, soos 'n boekmerkie met 'n lintjie en diertjies op en alles en ek gee vir haar en ek sê vir haar, jou babietjie se naam is Annie, maar dit beteken eintlik beautiful. En weet julle, sy wil nie huis toe gaan nie, sy wil nie die hele tyd hoor en ek moet haar praat. En sy gaan toe huis toe en die volgende week kom sy weer, maar sy kom al die oggend 7 uur. En die Here sê vir my daai oggend, Annelie, vandag is die dag wat jy van na my toe moet lei. En ons staan op ons knieë daar in my TV-kamer op die mat en ons bid en sy bid agter my aan en die Here doen 'n wonderwerk in daai vrou se lewe. Hy keer haar lewe om. En die week daarna toe kom sy weer, maar ons praat die hele tyd. Ons kry nie die huiswerk gedoen nie. Ons praat net die hele tyd, maar dit was nie belangrik nie. Dit was belangrik dat sy ingekom het en ek kan sien hoe jy Jesus oor hierdie vrou wat haar hart en haar lewe neergelê het. En jy weet, sy kom van 'n lewe af waar hulle Vrydag aand na 'n klap toe gegaan het. En daar het hulle gedrink en gedans en daar was allerlei goeders in hierdie klap. En haar man is 'n alkoholis. En hoe die Here vir my, en sy sê sy wens sy kan haar man verander. En hoe die Here my gebruik om vir haar te leer, maar dis nie jou man wat verander nie, dis jy wat eers moet verander. En hoe sy vir my sê, sy het die lus om sy foon te laai nie, en sy het die lus om dit te doen nie, en sy het die lus, en hoe ek vir haar beginne leer, en dis net Heilige Gees, ek gee God al die eer, en hoe ek haar net kan beginne leer en vir haar sê, maar doen die klein goedjies, wees getrou aan die klein goedjies, God sal vir jou oprig, en hoe sy begin vir hom tee maak, as hy van die werk afkom, vir hom hallo sê, het jy lekker dag gehad, maak jy saak of jy Vrydag aan 'n vol wyn is nie, maak sy kos vir hom warm, she just love him, she just love him. En so gaan dit aan vir 2 weke, 3 weke, en hy een aand sê hy vir, ek weet nie wat gaan met jou aan nie, maar jy is nie meer dieselfde nie, en hy is sommer so geïrriteerd met haar. En elke keer sê Asina sê vir, iets gebeur met jou, jy is anderste. En ek eer die Here vir dit. En weet jy, en so gee die Here een aand vir haar droom, vir haar swaar, wat ook 'n alkoholis is, en sy droom van hierdie wit lig en hoe sy met hom gaan praat en maar sy doen dit teen sy vertel toe vir my en ek sê va wat gaan jy omtrent dit doen want weet jy in die Bybel staan as jy nie iemand gaan waarsku nie en vir hom gaan sê nie en hy sterf of hy kom iets oor dan is hy bloed aan jou hande want jy het hom nie gaan waarsku nie en jy het hom nie gaan vertel van Jesus nie en daai aand gaan sy na sy huis toe maar hy is toe nog nie daar nie die volgende oggend 5:00 toe gaan sy na sy huis toe kry sy hom terwyl hy nog slaap. En sy maak hom wakker en sy sê vir hom, ek wil vandag met jou praat, ek wil vir jou sê wat die Here vir my gesê het. Weet jy, en daai man gee sy hart vir die Here. En dis nou al 3.5 maande wat hy nie, net so, 3.5 maande wat hy nie 'n druppel drink nie, en die Here verander sy lewe. En weet jy, elke week as Rochelle by my kom, dan sê ek vir, vat vir jou 'n geestelike boek van my rak af, en vat vir jou 'n CD. En weet jy, daar is party series wat sy 3 weke gehou het, wat sy oor en oor en oor. En sy, God is so getrou, die bure oral kom en hulle kom luister die geestelike musiek. Haar 3 kinders het hulle harte vir die Here gegee, hulle dien die Here. Haar man is nou op hierdie punt, sy het laasweek vir my vertel, dat hy net sit en beginne praat en praat en praat en praat en hy maak net sy hart oop. En hoe die Here kom en hy verander alles. En ek glo binnekort gaan haar man ook inkom vir die koninkryk. Want hy wil hê wat sy vrou het. En weet jy, dis iets wat ek gedoen het. He. I just love her. I just love her. En ek vertel net vir hoe kosbaar sy is. En hoe kan haar glo. En dat God 'n plan vir haar het. En die amazingste van alles is ons het gebid dat die Here vir haar rigting en plan vir haar lewe sal gee. En toe kom sy by 'n kleuterskool uit. En sy kan hierdie klein kindertjies bedien en vashou en hoe die Here vir haar gesond maak van Annie, want sy weet Annie is by Jesus. En weet julle, daai kleuterskool bied vir haar pos aan en hulle bied vir haar aan om vir haar te laat leer om iets agter haar naam te kry in kleuterskoolbediening. En Dit is net die Here wat dit kan doen, wat hy kan verander. En ek onthou ons het eendag gebid en hoe ek die Here vir my sê help om vry te kom van hierdie seer en van hierdie pyn. En hoe sy sien hoe Jesus Annie in haar arms sit en hoe sy vir Annie hou vas, weet jy, die heerlikheid van God kom op daai vrou en die trane loop en God was haar skoon en toe sy daar opstaan en die Here het haar vrygemaak en sy het hierdie goed neergelê. Weet jy, toe sing sy die hele dag in my huis. Haar geestelike musiek sing sy en daar was soveel joy en dit was net God wat dit kan doen. En ek gee die Here al die eer want weet jy, ons weet nie wanneer ons 'n engel in ons huis huisves aan iemand se lewe te verander nie.
Now if you weren't able to follow that story, this is simply just Hanelie who, you know, a lady that by chance ended up in her house, you know, to clean. But Hanelie just sat down, got to know her, made her a cup of tea, ended up hearing her whole story, how she lost her baby, how she's still grieving for this baby. Through a process, Hanelie, you know, led that lady to the Lord, lent her books, lent her CDs, spoke into her life, prayed with her. They hardly cleaned the house. They just did the Jesus thing together. And how this lady's family started changing, you know. Her husband hopefully will get saved too, and her brother-in-law that gets saved. Her three children gave their lives to the Lord. This family's whole life has changed around. How God provided a job for her at a preschool where she can work with little kids, and how he ministered to her heart because of the baby that she lost. And how he showed her a picture of him holding this little baby and herself holding this little baby. And God has just been doing all this healing and restoration and impacting this whole family just because Hanelie took time to sit down and talk to the lady who came in to clean her house. That should send shivers down your spine because that is what church looks like. That is what church looks like. And so to end off, just so we can reflect on this and we can allow the Lord to convict us, I need 8 people. You're not going to have to do anything silly. It's okay. Anyone see where my phone went? Hi? Oh, thank you. Okay. So, who's got the prophecy one? Okay. You're gonna hold the huge flashlight. I think we'll spare you trying to put the lights off again. Luke? Erik, waar's hy skinkbord nou? It's quite prophetic that Luke is holding this one. Okay, Luke. Let me die in faster. Okay, he's representing service to us. Who's doing teaching? Okay. Here's your mic. But she's modeling it, remember? Okay, who's doing giving? Where? Waar is daai? Waar is hy? Ja, asseblief. Kryf ons daai potjie. And then leadership. Who's doing leadership? Okay. Yeah, you can actually just hold that. Is the picture still there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to hand over your break. Okay, you can hold that one on because it's the upside down kingdom. And okay, the mercy one, I'm wanting you to do exactly that. You're going to put your arms around Amore because you're going to model that compassion to us completely. Okay, in exhortation, okay, I actually need a few more people. Can I go for you, Leon? In Clive and Yaku, I need big strong guys. Can you guys come help us out here for a moment? Can you help us? Big strong guy. Yeah, you. Okay. And you need to be brave now, okay? Okay. Yo, you come sit up. So it's fine. Okay. And I need you, big guys. Can you lift this chair up? Okay. Can you guys, you don't have to lift it too high. Okay, they're exhorting her. They're lifting her up. And she'll be the beauty pageant. The queen. Thank you. You can put her down. You've done your job. But guys, jy kan gou bly sit, hoor. Jy kan gou bly sit. Okay, thank you for the big strong guys. We need to be strong to exhort each other. Guys, these are some of the gifts that the Bible talks about and that Paul is challenging us on. Which one is you? And most of you in here will have more than one of these. And all of you in here are called to do all of these things to some extent, in some capacity, at some time. So none of us are, you know, like, okay, off the hook. All of us are called to serve the body of Christ and to serve the world. Ephesians talks about the fact that when we use our gifts, when we do these things, we build up the whole body to unity and to maturity. And when we do that, we are no longer tossed to and fro by the waves of false doctrine. So good doctrine in the church is not just from the teachers teaching it. Yes, we need to do that. Good doctrine comes when we take a hold of the Word of God and we say, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be living this. I'm going to be serving and loving and giving through the gifts that God has given me, the time He's given me, the resources He's given me, the gifts that He's given me. This is how we do this. This is how we make the story Hanalei told true in every one of our lives every day. It's not always going to be that much and that profound, but we can touch someone else's life by a simple encouragement, by a simple way of giving. Give someone a card and just say, you know, God loves you and I see this and this, and you have no idea how you can change their lives, even if they never give you feedback about it. You allow the Holy Spirit to make you a vessel. Because I don't know if you remember last week when he talked about surrender, for those of you who were here, you know, we said if we have a lot of junk in our lives that keeps us from, we don't lay it down before God, we cannot go out there to influence with the harvest. And we had Tinus, Rizai's husband, who's a big, strong guy. I gave him a vacuum cleaner and a suitcase and two boxes, you know, and I said, now carry to the back of the room. And he ruined my analogy completely because he was strong enough and he actually carried it to the back of the room. But the point is, these things shackle us. So I want to show you this. If this is Henry, okay, by the way, this is my wonderful neighbor, and he's not any of these things I'm going to put on him right now, but just for the sake of illustration, these were the things that were attached to Tennis' suitcases and vacuum cleaners and all of these things. I hope they all stick. Okay, just things like worries, insecurities, sins, issues that we don't sort out with, we sort out or don't allow God to deal with, or we don't ask for forgiveness, or we don't get healing for. Fears, the things that hold us back, they go along with insecurity. Selfishness. He says I can stick it on his forehead. Selfishness. Okay, is that everything? Okay, these are just examples of some of the things that we don't surrender to God that hold us back. Now, I want to ask you something. When you look at Henry now, you see only those things, don't you? And now if I try to, you know, use any of these gifts or any of these ways to practically love that we just went through in the last verses of this chapter, if I want to stick any of this on him, there's not a lot of space, is there? Maybe I could stick this on his forehead. But what's going to happen? Even if he's using his gifts, what are you going to see? Most likely. All this other stuff. And this is not about saying we have to be perfect before God can use us. This is not true. The Lord is so gracious, He uses us despite of and in spite of the stuff that we carry around with us. But you know what? When we carry these things around, we are shackled. We're like Tinus last Sunday, you know, he's kind of like this, like trying to get to the back of the room because he's dragging a vacuum cleaner and all this stuff with him. If you're dragging all of these things with you, your gift will be affected. You will not be able to love and serve and give and teach and everything that God's calling you to do, all the opportunities that He's presented before you, when you're shackled by all of these things. So lay it down before Jesus. Let it go so that you can be a teacher. Mooi, Henry. Pluck it off. So that you can be a teacher and an exhorter and a prophet and a servant and a giver. And, you know, one who shows mercy and compassion, and you can be an upside-down leader, because this is what the kingdom of God looks like. When we use the gifts that we have and we say, I'm in love going to serve you. I'm in love going to encourage you. I'm in love going to teach. I'm in love going to wash those darn cups, you know, when no one else wants to wash them. I'm going to mow my neighbor's lawn. I'm going to spend time to get to know this lady who's come into my house to clean, because she's a person and God loves her. If our church cannot look like this, really, we can just lock up those doors and go. Because what we're doing here has no purpose or value or meaning then. This is not a social club, by the way. This is not a come here so you can feel better when you go home club. Yes, that will happen too. I really pray it does, you know, that the Spirit of God encourages you. It happens for me, really. Some Sundays I barely make it here because, you know, the kids, and I'm just like, ah, I'm here, everybody's alive. And I walk out of here and I am encouraged. I am lifted up. But this is not about me. This is about the kingdom of darkness who's taking ground because we don't do this. Because it's about me all the time. So can you stand with me? And those of you guys, you're just going to represent what we're talking, and you're going to stretch out your hands over all of these guys, and you're going to stretch out your hands towards us. And we're just going to ask the Lord right now to just do this in our life. Just give us an impartation, God. Okay? We all need faith for this. We all have wobbly knees sometimes. We all are weak. We all sit where Henry sits, where he stands many times in our lives. But God wants to free us from that so that we can be servants of the kingdom. So we can do what Paul talks about here in Romans chapter 12. Are you ready? Okay? So this is just simply in faith. So stretch out your hands towards one another and then just pray with me in your heart, out loud, however you want to. God, we need your help. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our hearts this morning, into our minds. We say, Lord, we give you permission. We surrender. We present ourselves before you as living and holy sacrifices, people who are willing to deny themselves, to take up our cross, to give of ourselves to someone else when it costs us something. To be like David who says, I will not give to God that which didn't cost me something. And he poured out that water on the ground. God, we want to be like that. We want to be transformed people. We don't want to be like those around us, not because of pride, but because that's what you've called us to. You've called us to be your precious people that you've called out of darkness into your marvelous light so that we can shine your light. Lord, whether it's through the prophetic gift, or whether it's by encouragement, or whether it's by service, we want to shine your light. We no longer want to put the light that you've given us under something, under a bucket, so that no one can see this. Lord, we ask you to smash that bucket today in the name of Jesus, that our lights may shine. And whoever you are this morning, and however weak you feel like your light is, we want to say to you, the Holy Spirit will light your flame. The Holy Spirit will light your flame. My little flame doesn't want to go here this morning. But God, would you come in with your mighty rushing wind and would you blow on this flame so that everyone will walk out here this week knowing, God, I'm called by you. I am special. You have gifted me and I'm going to use it this week. I'm going to use it in my family. I'm going to use it in my workplace. Here I am. I'm a vessel. Would you fill me up with your oil and would you pour me out as a drink offering to the rest of the world around me. So we look to you, Jesus, and we say, you're the beginning, you're the author and the completer of our faith. And we look to you, and we lay aside these sins and these weights that so easily entangle us, Lord, that hold us back. And we say, only in you can we do this. We receive your Spirit this morning. We receive your impartation and faith. We take on, and God, whatever issues we have as a body here, and even those who are visiting, we ask that you would lead each and every one of us in a way that we can lay those things down. Go see someone, talk to someone, pray, give it up, be accountable, but get rid of the junk that holds us back from bringing in the harvest. Get rid of the junk that holds us back from serving each other in a loving way without hypocrisy, from clinging to what is good, from abhorring what is evil, from practicing hospitality. God, we want to see those things happen in our life. That's the fruit we want to pick from this specific tree, this part of the body of Christ. We want to pick this fruit and we want to share it with those around, Lord, that all the nations will come to our tree and the leaves will be for the healing. God, we say that this morning in faith. And we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the way you provide. And for each person here, Lord, whatever problem they have, whatever sickness they have, whatever financial worries they may have, whatever feelings of insignificant they may have, whatever emotional stuff is going on, would you help them to lay it down? And would you meet them where they're at? Would you bring healing? Would you bring provision? Would you show yourself in a real and a powerful way? We love you and we need you, Jesus. We love you and we need you. You're welcome to keep worshiping the Lord. If you need prayer for a specific thing, please come up. There's some people who would love to pray with you and prophesy into your life and encourage you or pray God's healing over you. Breeze provision, come and do that. And for the rest of you, enjoy your tea and coffee and have a lovely Sunday afternoon. Bless you so much. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.